John 1, the Word becomes flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Matthew chapter 1, reading from verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Hebrews 1:1-4, the Son superior to angels. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. Amen.
Now let us pray. God our Father, we give thanks that throughout the story of your Son's birth, your word was powerful to bring strength and comfort to those who were involved in this pivotal moment in human history. We thank you also that your word was challenging. And so we pray that tonight, as we draw closer to ancient truths, that you would revive us for the present, so that we who are called to follow the light of the world may have this light within us, so that others may come to know him and to love him. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great blessings of my time of theological study was being brought into contact with the Greek Orthodox tradition in Christianity. This was mainly because we had one of the foremost Greek Orthodox theologians lecturing to us in the University of Glasgow at that time. His name was John Zazoulas, and you'll find him nowadays as the Bishop of Pergamum in the Greek Orthodox Church. But it was through John that perhaps I had a greater understanding of what is known as the Incarnation, God coming to this world in a human personality. Quite literally, that word means the enfleshment of God, the whole being of God being, as it were, enclosed in a human personality and entering into the flow of human history. This is one of the central emphases of the Orthodox faith, and it's reflected in those icons that we see so often in that tradition, where the idea of God takes shape in an artistic representation. But John was a great fan of an ancient Orthodox theologian whose name was Athanasius. Athanasius, who lived around the 4th century. And he had a great image which he used to employ in order for us to perhaps have some insight into the Incarnation, what it meant for God to become a human being. He painted the picture of a small village which is to receive a visit from a king. And the king comes to the village, and perhaps just one or two people are selected to actually meet him, but the whole village is honoured by the king's presence. The privilege of receiving the king spreads throughout that whole community. And Athanasius used to say that the privilege of the king of the universe coming to us in human form spreads through the whole of humankind. It shows us the value that he places on men and women. It shows us his commitment to the whole of humanity. It shows the extent of his commitment and his love, that he was willing to become one of us in order to save us. This is something which is addressed by the Apostle John in what we call the prologue to his Gospel, when he takes us beyond the birth of Jesus to the place where it all started, in eternity, when God saw our need and sent his Son to become one of us in order to save us. And the tragedy of that moment can be felt when we're told that even though he became a human being and lived amongst us, he was unrecognized by so many people. He came to his own, but his own did not recognize him. He was not welcomed. Not long ago, I was sitting in Pret-a-Manger. Do you like the pronunciation? In Sucky Hall Street in Glasgow, a place where you can get a pretty decent cup of coffee. And I managed to get a seat near the window. I like to do that, just watch people passing by. And it occurred to me at that moment that although I'm someone who perhaps knows a lot of people, in the 10 or 15 minutes that I was in that place, and the flow of humanity was going past, I recognized not one person. They were all just faces in a crowd. And for so many people, when Jesus came, even though he was the Son of God, even though he was the enfleshment of God, even though within him dwelt God himself, there were those to whom Jesus was just the face in the crowd. And the prophet Isaiah saw that as the reality when he looked 700 years into the future and saw the coming of the Messiah, but said he had no grace, no majesty, that men would recognize him. Some people looked at him and just saw another man. And even those who engaged with him, perhaps there were those who were willing to take him on with regard to his claims and the challenge of his teaching. Even though there were some who recognized him, he was recognized as a pest, a nuisance that had to be dealt with. Nowadays, perhaps, there isn't that same aggressive attitude to Jesus. He's one of those people in history that everyone wants to own. People speak of my Jesus, my idea of Jesus, who can be incorporated into any ideology, any scheme of thinking. But what that amounts to in the end is an indifference to who he really is. Not recognized as the Son of God, the one in whom we see God reflected in his fullness. In this year, we've seen so much said about the First World War. And there was a man called Stoddart Kennedy, who was a chaplain in the First World War, who wrote poems reflecting the experience of many people during that conflict. But he also wrote many devotional poems, and there's one called Indifference, which envisages Jesus coming to the world as it is now and not receiving the cruel treatment that he received when he came 2,000 years ago. Instead, he was ignored. And that, the poem says, is worse than any other kind of response. There's one memorable line in which we're given the picture of Jesus being soaked by the rain and crouching against a wall and crying for Calvary. He came to those who were his own, but his own did not receive him. But we're told that there were people who received him for who he was. And to those he gave the right to be called sons of God. People who are part of his family with him as the elder brother. Now we know who these people are. We could point to the disciples of Jesus and say that they were the ones who had the right to be called the sons of God, having seen Jesus and recognized him for who he is and given their lives in order to follow him. But it would be a mistake for us, friends, tonight and at any other time to think that these men were just becoming part of some kind of religious movement, that they were engaged in a movement for social and political reform. There was something far deeper going on when someone recognized Jesus for who he is. Something that goes deeper than emotion and sentimentality. Something that goes deeper than thought itself. What the scriptures tell us is that at that moment, when Jesus is recognized for who he is, then we have a new status. We have a new being. It's as if we are born again. The Christmas hymn says that he was born to raise the sons of earth and born to give them second birth. We become the children of God in the deepest sense. We hear people saying we're all God's children. And that at one level is very true. But the Apostle John is speaking of it at a far deeper level than a common humanity that we share. John is the apostle symbolized by the eagle. The eagle who can look into the sun and not be dazzled. And John looks into the depths of Jesus. He looks into the depths of humanity. And he tells us that there is something radical needing done in the lives of men and women. Not just to follow ideas. Not just to lay hold on a pattern for living. But to recognize who Jesus is. To receive his Holy Spirit. And to be numbered with those who are called the sons and daughters of God. Each and every one of us at this moment is called to recognize Jesus for who he is. To have something awakened deep within ourselves which will connect with his Holy Spirit so that we live in the depths in this life and continue with him even through our experience of death and into eternity. Let us pray. God our Father, we ask that we would, by your grace, be able to clear a space in the midst of everything that we traditionally associate with Christmas. To come up once again against this tremendous tale of all. As the poet says, the maker of the stars and sea, become a child on earth for me. We pray, Lord, that you would draw us closer to this truth, that our souls might be awakened within us, that we might see him more clearly and follow him more dearly, for his sake alone. Amen.